Welcome, OT entrepreneurs, to the OTs Get Paid podcast. This is episode 108, where we're talking about how leadership affects your bottom line. I live in the province of Alberta in Canada, and February, when this is being recorded, is the time of the year when we renew our OT license. And we don't do it in a very traditional way. It is my belief that most of the provinces in Canada do it this way, but I cannot confirm. I do know that my province does things very differently than the typical listener in the United States, which is we are not required to have a set amount of CEUs. Mind blowing, right? That's because the Alberta College of Occupational Therapy, or ACOT, which governs my license, believes in the power of self-reflection in our license renewal. So we need to address core competencies and the standards of practice and the ethics in a reflective experience first, and then we set goals. And so it is top of mind lately because as we start our ACOT reflections, we talk about our year. There's prompts, but we basically talk about our years in OT and what's come up for us. Now, I am a few months away from having been in OT for 30 years. So my reflection is going to look a lot different than, say, somebody who's a new grad or somebody who's been in for 10 years. And it was this reflection that began to prompt some things that I heard throughout the year. Comments that I heard repeated, a theme, if you will. You're a real leader, Trish. Trish, I'm so excited to have you at CAOT. I'd like to introduce you to this person. This is Trish. She's a huge leader in the OT space. And it made me reflect on the meaning of that. I knew what leadership meant when I had my bricks and mortar clinic and a team of therapists and front desk people around me. And in the different iterations I've had of staff and team members in my online business, OTs Get Paid. And yet that seemed like an opportunity to dive deeper into a learning goal, a learning strategy for this year, meaning what is leadership exactly? And because we are OTs Get Paid, I want to know, how does leadership affect our bottom line? And by our, I mean those of us who are occupational therapists who identify as entrepreneurs and run businesses. So the podcast decided to go to our next guest to help us find a solution to that question. And by the way, yes, indeed, doing this podcast then becomes one of my learning goals and one of the resources that I use to share that, like, I dove into this topic and here's what I learned. So I'm very excited to reintroduce you to this guest because she has been a guest on the podcast already. We have Hélène Thériault. Hélène has studied coaching as an approach to enhance service delivery in healthcare and leadership methods. And along this journey from occupational therapist, a lot of experience, begins to study coaching, really understanding coaching, she has recognized the necessity of reevaluating goal setting practices in healthcare. And it's evident that integrating these coaching principles, including the neuroscience behind behavior change, can improve the success of achieving goals. And so today, Hélène is here to help us explore how these insights around goal setting, around leadership, can add money to your OT business and team. So welcome, Hélène.
Oh, thank you so much, Trish. It's lovely to be here.
So those of you who may have remembered a Lens Past podcast, we had not met in person. We had met in a more typical way of us connecting online and saying, hey, this is what I do. Would it be of interest to your audience? And I said, oh my goodness, yes, let's bring you in. And since then, we have not only met in person once, it's been twice, with hopefully a third time on the horizon. And I would say now I know so much more about what you do, and I know so much more about you as a human and as an occupational therapist. So I'm really, really grateful that you are in my corner. I would like you to maybe give a snippet so that the listeners can feel like they're a part of this story. Mm-hmm. Could you reflect on something that maybe we've done together that was meaningful, funny, out of the box, different?
Well, you know which story I have to share.
Tell me.
Where I'm going with this. So in that first podcast, and I think it was episode 74, and we focused on living on our core word. And at the very end, I love how you always asked us these rapid fire questions. And that's, you asked me, what is my biggest personal splurge? And I landed on figure skating. And then we went on this dialogue about figure skating. That's when I discovered that you are very passionate and knowledgeable about figure skating. Next thing I know, I am sitting next to you at Stars on Ice at the Canadian Occupational Therapy Conference. So I'm a speaker at the Canadian Association of Occupational Therapy. There we go. Too many acronyms in my life. And so I'm a guest speaker at COT. My family gives me, it was Mother's Day, it was in May. I get these amazing Mother's Day gifts, and I get to meet the stars of Stars on Ice backstage. So next thing I know, you decide to come. This was last minute plan for you. And 3OT, we go to Stars on Ice. You sit beside me. And I will never forget this. I learned so much about figure skating from you.
Who doesn't figure skate? Let's remind the audience. I don't figure skate. You are a competitive figure skater. Not me. I watch it on television. But keep going.
So here's the, international level figure skater. And I should say ex-international figure skaters from my previous world. And then you, who have never figure skated. Nope. And I have learned more in that hour and a half about figure skating. You were giving me all these facts. I was like, oh, this is fantastic.
It was a deep dive.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I also want to paint a mental picture. This happened not in your hometown, living town, not in my hometown of Toronto, not where I live in Calgary, Alberta. We were in the middle of the prairies in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, which is like the most beautiful little small place, but it is a bit of a punchline. It's not like we were in Montreal or Halifax or Vancouver, or like we were in a very small town in the middle of the prairie provinces, which would be like the outback of Australia or like, middle of the prairies in the United States. So literally Saskatoon. And we had a great time. So thank you. And I want to make sure that we are not just an information podcast, but a storytelling place, because people remember the stories. So we were very lucky. I also remember sitting in your hotel room. I've never met you. And you are literally like, I'm drinking wine that you've gotten for me out of a water glass. And you are like getting ready to go to, your big speaking moment. And I'm like, this is a personal time. I'm sitting in this woman's hotel room and you're like, blah, 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 blah. And like running passages by me and everything. And I was like, we became friends very quickly, which is really lovely. So thank you for that. Yeah. Okay. So why don't you remind our listeners, please, if you haven't already listened to Ellen's episode, go back and listen to it. But why don't you do a reminder or a refresh of what you do? How do you get paid?
Mm-hmm. And I find over time, I call this my elevator pitch. I've gotten to feel more comfortable and confident in using it. I'll love to share that with the listeners and just caught myself a couple weeks ago. It just came out in this way.
Great.
So happy to get your feedback, your listeners' feedback on your thoughts. And so when people are asking me now, Helen, what is it that you do? I start off by stating my mission, my vision. And I say, I shift healthcare from inside out. Mm-hmm. My hope is that that gets people curious. And then I say, I do that with the intent to help clients, to help patients, to dial up their satisfaction and their sense of responsibility in managing their health. And I do that also for healthcare professionals, helping professionals, for them to improve their work satisfaction, for them to prevent burnout, and so that healthcare professionals, helping professionals, can stay in the healthcare system and not leave. And so how I get paid, how I do that, is through delivering transformative professional development training. And I'll do this with public healthcare, private healthcare, and continuing education organizations to those healthcare and helping professionals. And the big chunk of what they'll soak up is really mastering that approach that they can use either directly with their patients, with their clients, but also in their leadership roles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really through that coach approach, where I've developed this four-step kind of journey that I call the dive into a coach approach journey.
Tell me about the four steps.
Yeah, it starts with, it really started, we were talking about CAOT earlier, the Canadian National Association of OT, and it really started with just that level one. It was doing a 12-hour professional development to support others to learn about the coach approach, to use it specifically with clients and also in leadership. And I'm really fortunate that knowing that I was really passionate about delivering this content, I created my own model, my own framework, and so really creating something that is for healthcare, by healthcare, because there are nuances in using a coach approach, whether we're in an executive leadership position or if we're in healthcare. So the journey, I love that it's really evolved to a micro-credentialing journey. So we don't have to break the bank. We don't have to break time, the time commitment. We start with a 12-hour journey. And if and you walk away with actionable content that can start making a change, and then people see, okay, I am really loving this. Let's do some more. And then they can jump in that level 2A, level 2B. And by the time they get to level 3, we call it live implementation. And I'm going through a cohort right now and just reminds me how much I enjoy this work.
Mm-hmm.
And they are matched with their own client and they practice the formal coach approach in their area of practice and their scope of practice. So I feel by that stage, I'm a bit of a matchmaker as well, which is fun. Because I find people that want to get coached. So any listeners, if they're interested in having that experience. So it's just been a beautiful journey to truly be able to hear the wins, the success stories. And for me, the biggest compliment is when someone will say, thank you, Ellen, because I've invested my time and my energy, and for some people, their money into this journey. It's supported them to walk away from that path of burnout. It's supported them to enjoy their work more. It's supported them to help their clients more and feel more confident. And I absolutely love when people will share that it's dialed up their confidence to apply to leadership positions. Because as you know, coaching is such a big piece of leadership.
Well, honestly, I didn't really know. And that's why I'm so glad to have you here. So it was when we were sitting and having a breakfast together and we were talking, as we do, about all sorts of things, including OT. And, you know, as much as I understood what you do, there's always more to learn. Hey, I'm interrupting my own train of thought. We've met three times.
What? What's the third one? Breakfast?
Litté.
Litté?
Yeah, the summer.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. We totally forgot that we met each other too in the summer.
That's so funny.
That is so funny. So Hélène turns, again, we're just all over the country. Hélène turns out to be, I'm totally interrupting, but this is the nature of these conversations. People like this podcast because we're not like, you know, formal. We're like real life. Okay. So Hélène also wound up being a 20 minutes away from where I spend my July at camp. Do you remember?
Yeah, and I love that so much.
We met.
Your birthday.
It was also my birthday. And we left the cottage. You left your cottage. Your sister-in-law's?
Yeah,
your sister-in-law's cottage. And I was like, honestly, the little town is not too far from camp. And it's not, because like cottage country is huge in Ontario. Nope, we were 20 minutes away from each other. And we met at a Starbucks in the morning. And then Hélène's like, what's this camp situation? So you, Hélène, are the only of all the OTs that listen. And often so many of them say to me, I can't believe you take July off and go to camp. And I'm like, I know, right? And I'm not an OT at camp. I'm the lady that answers the phone, right? And you were like, what's this camp thing? And I was like, you want to come? And you're like, shut up. So you wound up at camp, right? Do you remember? You met my daughter. You met my sister. We took a tour.
And I still have those videos. I showed them to my kids. Who knows? We still have to chat. My kids might be there.
Okay, great. But I'm so sorry. I sound squirrely and I'm not that squirrel brain. But all of a sudden I was like, wait a second, because I was reflecting on the times that we've talked about your job. And that included being in a Starbucks in Huntsville, Ontario, while I was in a baseball cap and a ratty t-shirt. So there, Hélène has been to multiple places. Okay. That's so fun. This is the best thing, honestly, about having this podcast and having started part of this work as like bringing together OT entrepreneurs, as silopreneurs all over the world, like, and how our lives just keep going like, right? We just like, it's just so cool. So if you're listening and you feel like you're driving down a country road, because so many of you tell me that you drive and listen to this podcast and you're like, I feel like I'm the only OT in my town, much less, you know, your province, your state, you don't know anybody that does what you do in your country, or you don't feel that connected, just keep listening to the podcast. Just find your people, because there's something very
serendipity.
And there's something very unique, right? There's something very unique about like, and we can then share each other's worlds, which I think is like the coolest thing. Okay. I hope that didn't sound too squirrely, because I was like, wait a second. Okay.
And I love that we both had a brain fart on that.
Honestly. What? How did we completely miss an entire province, an entire season, my birthday, camp? You're like the only person that knows, like has been to camp when they're like, what is this camp thing? Like you've been there. Oh my gosh, it was so fun. Okay. So I interrupted you because I said I didn't really know what coaching had to do with leadership. And I feel like the times we've had a chance to really talk and dive in, including in a baseball cap in Huntsville, Ontario, you know, it's me learning more about the coach approach. But then at our last breakfast, when we were again, you know, and always stay curious, by the way, to everybody that's an entrepreneur, just keep staying curious, just keep asking questions. Like Hélène is so poised and so organized, and I could just let her talk to me. And yet it's always really important to raise your hand, honestly, and be like, I don't really get that part, or tell me more about this. Or so staying curious, thumbs up. So I didn't realize how leadership and the coach approach really impacted what you do. So that's why we kind of came to the idea of this podcast based on the learning that I had set for myself and this piece that I know that so many of you OT entrepreneurs are looking at, which is the bottom line and leadership. Mm-hmm. And it was through your conversation. So that's a very long-winded way of saying, no, I didn't really know how the coach approach and leadership go together. So continue to please tell us.
Yeah, I love that you brought that together. And I've clearly reflected on this quite a bit. And I love at the introduction that you've also had those reflections when people have reached out to you and you've started to notice that that's become your identity, that you're known as a leader in our field. And for me, I find it helpful and definitely inviting all the learners that the listeners as well to explore what leadership means for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to share mine if that helps, because I've definitely reflected on this quite a bit. And I find that way we can take, you know, a base and just add to it, and inviting people to make it their own. But for me, and, you know, I think of you as I'm reading this and I'm like, yes, this is Trish. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, the definition is someone that is anyone who is very attuned. Someone that's very aware of their ability to influence change. And so this is the next part for me that I've added, and willing to act on their ability to influence and affect change around them. So looking at your situation, you have the ability to influence change. You have all this knowledge, you had all this experience, you made those six digit figures, you did it twice in businesses, you learned a ton about a topic that for us in healthcare, if you're like me, and then I think there's many, many of us, is that we feel very uncomfortable. There's a ton of gremlin that comes for occupational therapy's identity as leaders and entrepreneurs. And so you had this skill set and you were willing to act on it, right? So it's truly that combination, and you've created this podcast. For me, I know a lot of people will look at leadership and they'll always think of it in the workplace. I go beyond, absolutely, with the workplace, with your staff, with your colleagues, all of that. I go beyond to the community and families. I truly see it as a ripple effect. And I do a lot of training with leaders. And my hope, and when I deliver the training with them, is I always try to inspire them that their role as a manager, as a leader, as a director, chief executive officer, it has, if you impact your employee, that employee goes home at the end of the day. That employee has a family that they go to. That employee has friends. That employee has a community around them. So you really have a ripple effect as a leader that can be positive or it can be go the other direction. Does that help, that definition?
Yeah, it really does. Thank you. Because also, that's on my ACOT learning for 2024, 25, is also to then actually like define leadership. Like, what does it mean? And then what models do you choose from, et cetera? Which is like not what we're going to accomplish in this podcast. But yes, no. I find that really helpful. So thank you. Yeah. So then what is it about that bottom line and how coaching skills, so coaching skills and leadership and its effect on leadership, we've kind of shown that connection. So then what is it about coaching skills to leadership to the bottom line? What is that connection, please?
Yeah. You find that connection when you take that general leadership definition, which I would invite you, this could be good for your, they would be impressed for your learning goal, as you can add your, you can add the impact and the scope, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where I think we can take a general definition and make it our own through the impact for us specifically and with scope. So when you take that general definition, you then go deeper. And if you look at the coaching leadership definition, with the research, the way I've summarized it from the many definitions that are out there, is it involves the use of coaching skills to support employees in three things. And so this is where those three things you'll see a lot of research on that we can dive a bit into. So using those coaching skills as a leader, it can support our employees to setting goals and achieving their goals. It can, those skills can help us as leaders to provide feedback and guidance. And those skills can help to foster a culture of continuous learning and growth. So I know that's a lot. There's those three elements. How does that land so far?
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah. I'm taking notes. Yeah.
I am taking notes. I was actually just thinking here, I wonder if the listeners can hear the tap, tap, tap of my computer. That's actually what I was thinking because I was writing it down. So I hope you didn't, because that's annoying. Okay. Do you want to dive into those a little bit? Do you want to break them out for us?
Yeah, would love to. Because I find it could be so impactful as entrepreneurs to... I think if we get to a place where we have that awareness of the skills that we have, the skills that we want to develop, it will help to identify where there's a gap for each of us, and identify how we want to fill that gap, if at
Great.
All.
Great.
And where to continue dialing up. And so with those leadership coaching skills, those three skills, really what they do for the bottom line, three main things that keep popping up in the research that's pretty consistent across the board, is it will increase employee productivity, it'll increase engagement, And this to me is such a big one because I do not like the statistics that we see right now, is that it helps with retention.
Retention due to what factor? Many or one in particular?
Many. So we can look at all those skills that from the those leadership coaching skills and break it down. What comes up the most with one of the coaching skills is setting and achieving those goals. That one will help significantly, and it makes sense. It helps for the employees to be more productive, right? If you're setting goals and they're aligned with your organization, with your business, win-win. And there's a whole neuroscience behind that goal setting. We can go a little bit into.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. And so, but if, whoops, there's my headset coming down for us. You might have heard that noise.
You're back in.
And back in, perfect. So with setting and achieving those goals, if we can really look into a few of those neuroscience theories, it can really serve us. Because one thing I feel for me certainly that I was not doing before really getting into the science and the coaching principles behind goal setting, I don't know. Well, actually, I know before I was never putting a lot of emphasis on understanding someone's values before setting a goal. And so once you have an understanding of someone's values, and if you're showing up with this coaching mindset, which you've talked about earlier, showing up, you were encouraging all of us to show up as being curious, right? And asking questions. That's one of the ways that, in coaching, when I teach it, I always say there's a way of doing, and we learn the techniques, and there's the way of being. So that's why I say, there's that shift from that inside out. And so if as leaders we can show up from that place of curiosity and we can get clarity on what motivates and what the values are of our employees, we're so much more further. We're really being able to adapt those goals and use language that will resonate with the employee, because we all have different motivations, we all have different values. So what if we understood some of that for those that work around us? It can have a significant, yeah.
That makes
What are you
so much
going to say?
sense. I'm actually I'm bringing this even out of work and reflecting that I am now parenting young adults. So my youngest is almost 20, and which is bizarre that I'm not even going to have teenagers anymore, which kind of freaks me out. But a lot of the way that I'm helping them or guiding them to answer the questions that they have in this emerging adulthood. I didn't come up with that, but I've read a book recently that talks about emerging adulthood as opposed to 18 and then adult. Like this 18 to 25 is like key, right? And so it's often, and it's harder. And I guess you know what? I guess I'm coaching my children because instead of me telling them what I think they should be doing, and it's not for lack of opinions. I have many. As a leader, I do not lack in opinions, but I'm really trying to lean into, yeah, actually, this is exactly what it is. It really is coaching them, right? And then it's saying, what do you think? What have your successes been in the past? Where does your heart lie? And it's really, I can't determine the next steps for you. Only you can determine the next steps for you based on your values. And it's been really interesting because it's harder. It's very much like you talked about the inside out. Like it would be easier just to be outside and like wagging a finger at them, right? Or giving them direction or whatever, like things that you used to think of as leadership, maybe, and parenting, right? As opposed to like, what did you also say? Holding the space, remaining curious. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think of your options? What more options could there be? How does that relate to how you feel inside? Who do you want to be? Oh, it's exhausting. So I do that at work too. No, wait, I didn't say that out loud. That was
And I love how you share that, because that's a piece is it's in your definition, clearly, you too are outside of the work environment. And I've listened to a lot of your episodes, and you absolutely are using a coach approach with parenting, and it can be so effective. And one piece that I've discovered can be really helpful with the, if we go more, are you okay if we geek out a bit and talk about neuroscience?
Oh,
Is that
please.
okay?
You don't have to ask. The answer to that question is always
Let's
yes.
do
Go for it.
it. Yeah. And so what, adding that element to goal setting and adding the values piece, that's one piece. But also listening when you're like, let's say in that parenting example, I try to pay attention when I'm goal setting with people is in this situation, are they more frontal cortex? Are they more about the planning, doing phase, or are they more in the amygdala, the emotional part of it? Right. And it's very interesting. And so I pick this out now every time I'm duly, because that's another piece of how I get paid is I do the one-on-one leadership coaching and it ties in so well together and it helps both of those roles help augment the other role. So you'll notice this in leadership coaching. As soon as they show up, I'm in my head in that moment and I will think, are they bringing this problem from an emotional perspective? Are they within the amygdala right now, or are they in the frontal lobe? And if they're with the frontal lobe, I bring in, how does that make you feel? How does that idea resonate with you? Where do you feel this in your body right now as you talk about your action plans? Like, oh my gosh, I feel tense in my throat. Like, okay, so it sounds like that. How's your confidence right now to get this goal done on 1 to 10? Right. And so if they're in the planning phase or the emotional phase, then I try to bring in the frontal lobe. And so, and then, and that is, I think, a space where most of us are more comfortable. How will you get there? What steps will you take? So a lot of us were in our training in OT, this is perfect to get us in the frontal lobe. But what I've learned is it's really important to keep bouncing back and forth between frontal lobe and amygdala because we've got this connection between the two, the ACC, the anterior cingulate cortex, and that's that part that will assess, that will look at both and say, yeah, this is worth it. We should do this, right? And so imagine as entrepreneurs, all those decisions and all those goals we need to set, right? We're constantly working on this. And so even if we can catch ourselves, I know it's hard to coach ourselves, it's not easy, but if we dial up our awareness as entrepreneurs and say, okay, am I more like in my emotional space right now? Do I need to jump to frontal lobe and then be able to make a plan and really be able to get my ACC to make a decision? Is this worth it? And I find a lot of times that where we need to spend time is it goes back to those values. It goes back to that motivation. And I find when I'm coaching, I will, that's where I'm very, very comfortable to challenge and go with the, I usually don't in coaching training, I'll say avoid why questions. But the place that I go hard with why is when people are goal setting. Tell me why. What would that give you? What else? Tell me why again. And I'll push it and I will go as far as I think I can until I hear their motivational language. So that's
What
where
does
the
motivational
so
language look sound like? Can you give us an example?
I was gonna say one of the tools for me that supported me a lot in a lot of areas in my business has been a tool called, have we talked about this, the Strength Deployment Inventory, the SDI
Not
2.0?
to my
No.
knowledge.
Okay. And so that's a tool that's available to all of us, and it lives in the leadership world, and we can get our personalized assessment. Like, I know you've got the Enneagram done for you. Yeah. So it's similar to that. What in that tool, what's really helped me for me is helped me to understand the theory behind motivation. So I wasn't surprised to learn that, oh, Helen, you're a blue green
Oh,
motivational
yeah.
value system, right? So
Got
I'm
it.
motivating by helping others and I'm motivated by process. So I wasn't surprised to find that out. What it would, sure, it dialed up my self-awareness of what motivates me. But what it really did and helped me as an entrepreneur is then also see what are the other six types of motivational value systems.
Mm-hmm.
Those that I work around, if my with my team, with whenever I'm have meeting and doing coaching calls, what is their motivational value system? So I've learned to be able to pick on and really pay attention to the language to try to identify what motivates that person in front of me. And if
tell
I
me the
can,
name. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. The name of the tool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's called Strength Deployment Inventory.
Okay, great.
And now they've added, yeah. And now they've added 2.0. They've updated it. Yeah.
Great.
And I'm certified to be able to deliver the SDI 2.0 and to debrief it. But anyone can get their hands on that assessment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Might be a small cost to it. And mm-hmm. you can ask the person to give you a debrief. For me, it's had such an impact personally. It's impacted me personally, professionally. It's a tool that in my office, I look at almost every day. It's helped me to make business decisions. It's helped me to work on project more effectively. And it's incorporated. We were talking about the dive into a coach approach journey earlier. It's incorporated in the level 2A. Mm-hmm. I don't do it in the level 1. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a cost when you're certified. Every time I send a link to someone, it costs
mm-hmm.
me,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. But in the level 1, I'm not sure that people are ready for that.
I completely understand. Yeah. You're grading the task, you OTU.
I am grading. It comes in very handy.
It sure does.
Skills. Oh my gosh. We are honestly, like, we are so, our skill sets is so aligned to be with entrepreneurs. And I am so excited to that as I seeing this field evolve more and more, we're seeing more and more entrepreneurs. And I hope that we'll continue to grow. And I think, Trish, you have a big part to play in that. I think you are inspiring and supporting us. So I can't thank you enough.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay. What color is it if you don't take compliments well? Is that a blue green? Is that, what would the SDI say about that? Okay, we're moving along. I was going for the joke. Okay. I would like to hear, so we've talked about those three factors to help with using the coach approach leadership to the bottom line of a business. One we've talked about and we've gone into depth, which is setting and achieving goals using neuroscience theory, motivational language, etc. You had mentioned providing feedback. Do you want to dive into that a little bit more now?
I like that one too, but providing feedback can absolutely have a significant impact if we can deliver it well.
Mm-hmm.
It can have a significant impact clearly to enhance the performance, right? And so if we can enhance performance, that's i.e. employee productivity.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can be clear, I've learned it's such an art to give feedback. Like it does really take, you know, if you would have asked me 10 years ago, oh, Helen, how are you at giving feedback?
Mm.
I would have said, I feel very comfortable with the constructive, with the positive feedback. But if I have to give feedback to someone to help them grow, I would have said I felt very uncomfortable.
So what improved that?
Knowing the neuroscience behind it again.
Okay.
And I think a really quick tip is the clearer we can be, the better. Being clear is being kind. Is it Brené Brown that says this?
Yep. I say that to my kids all the time now.
Okay.
All
maybe
the time.
I heard it from you.
No, yeah. I mean, it's really actually changed my life. I know that's a very dramatic thing to say, but it really has.
I believe it.
With friendships, with my team at work, like with all of it, it's a really big difference.
Yeah. And I really love, read a lot about Brené Brown, and it's nice to hear it from different angles. You
mm-hmm.
read it, you hear it, and then you practice it and mm-hmm. you get to feel it, and then you can't go back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel that's if there's one element we can explore with providing feedback, is absolutely providing that clarity
mm-hmm.
and also the discrepancy of where are they now. And again, that's coaching. So anyone who's done coaching training, you'll see, oh, Helen's talking about the defined step mm-hmm. of the framework. Where are they now and where do they need? Right. So as the leader, that's where coaching becomes different when you're wearing your leader hat versus a therapy hat.
Mm-hmm.
As a leader, it's your staff, they have performance indicators to meet, right? Or your a specific role they need or task they need to accomplish. So where are they now, and what's your expectation? The report needs to be done every 3 months, not 4. You're at 4 months right now, you're 4 week delay, and we need them done, these reports, in 3 months. Right now, your reports are 4 hours, and we can only bill for 2 hours, right? And so if I can't help that team member go down from writing a report from 4 hours to 2 hours, that's going to be, they're not getting paid for it. It's impacting productivity, efficiency, probably morale, if someone continues to have this unpaid hours that's happening because they're taking longer to write reports. So giving that feedback, so being specific, being clear, where are you, where do you need to be? And then you can go in your coaching hack. What ideas do you have to reduce that report writing time, 4 hours to 2 hours? And it can, yep, go ahead.
I just don't think that we give enough credence as the boss, quote unquote, capital T, capital B, or as the owner of our business to stay curious, wear a coaching hat, to have others engage in solving problems. And it's something that I insert here, not as an expert in the training like you are, but as somebody who has quite literally coached and helped people. And this is typically people that are in the 100K Club Mastermind, like they've hit the six figures and they're ready to evolve. So same, grading the activity. And they're really like struggling to then lead a team from exactly what we've talked about, productivity, morale, goals, retention, etc. And what I find happens 99.9% of the time, I might even say 100, is people feel that they lack the knowledge and the skill to know exactly what the outcomes should. No, that's not true. Not about the outcomes, but how to achieve those outcomes. So they're like, I can't lead this team because I don't know the solutions for a report to get from 4 hours to 2 hours. So therefore, how, like, give me the curriculum that shows me. And again, I've talked about this so often. I am so grateful that, well, I know this is going to sound super twisted, but like, I'm kind of grateful there wasn't a me around, even though I sell me as a solution. Like, but being in 2018, sitting on my dock, not too far from where we met in the summer, and like having to figure it all out on my own meant that I couldn't kind of shrug my shoulders and say, well, because I don't know the answer, I guess I'm going to either have to take 17 more courses, that's what I hear a lot, or just turn it over to the people. And so I always kind of chose option B. And I find that OTs want option A all the time because we are very well educated. We want the evidence, we want the framework and the construct and the steps and all of these things, as opposed to I was like winging it as a hot mess. And because of that, and because there wasn't anybody else out there that I could turn to that was an OT, it was like, well, what do you think? Right? And so I'm kind of grateful that you brought this to my attention because I don't, that is always a solution. Even when you're hiring somebody and you don't know the KPIs of a position, like let's say you've never hired a marketing director before. And you're like, I don't know. Now I have to. So a typical OT entrepreneur would say, now I have to learn everything there is to know about marketing directors so that I can then give them their key performance indicators. And like, no, lean in is what you're saying and what I'm hearing to
100%.
say, hey, what do you think you should be evaluated on? What do you see the solution as? And that does not. I wonder if it's also because when you're in a leadership position, where does authority come into play with all of this? Because one thing I feel is that I don't actually have to be the authority to be a leader. I'm very comfortable standing up in front of a crowd and feeling like I'm in a leadership position and also going, well, I don't know. Like, but do you, so tell me how authority plays into all of that.
Well, for me, it doesn't either, because it's really not in my definition of leadership. It is a style. You can be an authoritative leader, but for me, I'm on the completely other end of the spectrum. And I view it, and the research is showcasing it, as a leader requires vulnerability qualities and being showing up vulnerable. So when you say, gee, I don't know, amazing. That is you being vulnerable in that moment and saying, like, yeah, I don't know everything. Let's figure it out.
And
Right?
so that is not a failure for those who are listening. That you're saying is truly
With the research.
evidence-based.
And this is a lot of what the research for Brené Brown has, and that's really helped. It might be, I feel there's a whole formula or recipe what brought me to where I am now. I would say Brené Brown is a big influence, because her leadership style resonates for me, and I'm like, okay, I can be vulnerable, I can not know it all. And also the coach approach supports you to empower you, right? So absolutely no, I have no idea how you will reduce from 4 to 2, but you do. I have 15 minutes. I have 15 minutes tomorrow. What does your schedule look like? Works for you? Perfect. Do you want to take 15 minutes and we figure out, we brainstorm together? Love to know your thoughts. But I will not give you, and I can give suggestions if they're stuck, but it's always, always, always coming from them.
Great.
And that's the power of coaching.
Great. Great.
And
Wow.
it's such a stress reliever. It's such a
Yeah.
stress reliever.
Well,
Imagine,
yes
yeah.
and no. I'm going to push back a little bit. I
Yeah,
mean,
go for
I
it.
find it a stress reliever because
Yeah.
I don't need to know everything. But
Yeah.
there is a very different kind of load or stress that doesn't make me uncomfortable to sit in that position. That actually might be one of my superpowers is to, and I don't feel like I'm a bull crashing through a china shop. I used to say that about myself, and I don't
Yeah.
feel that way anymore. I feel like I can hold that space of being really uncomfortable, like hold that weird space of like,
Yeah.
I don't know, but
Yeah.
we're gonna probably figure it out. We gotta figure it out. And so
Yeah.
I'm pushing back a little to say, I think that space is not a comfort to people.
No, I agree.
Getting comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yes. Yeah.
As opposed to, because to me, that's the amygdala. Tell me if I'm right, because this is
Yep.
your training, not mine. I'm just learning from you. So is that then people automatically, or many people, many OT entrepreneurs then say, oh, I actually want to live in my frontal lobes because that's a really comfy
Yeah,
place for me. Whereas I'm okay
correct.
with being in my amygdala. I'm like, okay, well, we're going to hang out here for a while. Is that where that neuroscience comes in? You're
Absolutely.
such a good teacher.
You're just going to say you said they're going to be faster. And that's a big piece of why, I realize, we talked about how it all started with the level one. I never had intention of developing 50 hours of content. But then that's when I realized it's, I always knew the core fundamentals was not going to be enough. It's going to be a teaser. But it's really when that level two, like that statement that you just said, I was like, oh my gosh, I think I say that, let's just say it's something I say often. It is a skill that you get to practice when you coach, is you get to be comfortable with the discomfort. And then it lowers the neuroscience part of it. Like if I go back to 5 years ago in a coaching session, and if there was going to be a 20-second pause where I had to zip it up and there was a pause for 20 seconds, oh my gosh, I felt it viscerally from head to toe. I was so uncomfortable. Now, a moment of discomfort, but may not be the whole 20 seconds. So, what's happened in my nervous system, the threshold has gone down, right? So, it doesn't mean that the first time you practice to zip it up and be curious and listen and, check in on the impact for them if they achieve this goal or not. If it might feel uncomfortable, but just encouraging all of us to stick with it, because that discomfort can come down over time,
That's so good
especially
to know.
when we know the wins, right? When we
Yes.
see like, I'll zip it up right now because this she is thinking hard to find her own solution. And I know if she finds that solution, she's going to be more apt to following through. So,
Very true. Well, and then the flip side of this. So let's assume, let's play devil's advocate and say they don't. I mean, then you don't have the right person on the bus, right? So you're quickly finding out that this is not the right person on your team because that's like a skill that might be hard to find in an interview, right? Might be hard to like, even though we've got, great approaches. So don't be afraid then to let that person go
like
if
that.
they don't have that initiative, that creativity, that feeling like they want to raise their hand and help problem solve. For then, I also think that that's a personality trait, but it's also a way of showing, do they believe in themselves and believe in this company in the same way that you do? I once let somebody go. Oh my
Fantastic.
goodness, this was the first person I ever had to let go. And I don't know if I've told this story like on the podcast before. And then I want to begin to wrap it up. So thinking about anything we've left on the table before we start to wrap it up. So I was dying, as all of us do when we have to let somebody go. Have you ever had to let somebody go?
I've had to give feedback for a failed field work placement.
Oof,
That was
that's a toughie.
a tough.
Yeah, that's a toughie. So this was like spring OT. This was my bricks and mortar OT clinic. It was either the first or the second. Oh no, not the first. The second or the third OT I'd hired. And it was an acquaintance because the niches are in your riches. I was like, I've worked with you before. We were used to work at the same company, yada, yada. Lovely person. And that's why it was even harder to like, and I just didn't have the same skill set that I have now. I didn't interview in the same way. I didn't do all these things, right, that I do now. So I pretty much agonized on finally letting her go. And as most of us will say, hire, like one of the idioms that I now live by is hire slow and fire fast. And we
It's a good
always
one.
hire fast and fire slow. And it's incorrect, in my
Yeah,
opinion, in my experience.
agreed.
So I had let it go on and on. And like, like she wasn't even showing up for clients at that point. Like it was bad news bears. So I was in agony, and I remember it was the spring because I could walk outside and be on my phone because emotion needs motion, right? Like I had like scripted it all out, and I was like totally petrified of my amygdala, no frontal lobes. So I'm walking, and it was such a learning experience. I'm not dissing this person, but the very first comment that they said to me when I was like, "I'm just gonna have to let you go," we're done, blah blah blah, based on this and this and this. Thank you so much, and she said, "Could you please give me another opportunity? I know I haven't been showing up as I have to, and I need to, and I haven't been giving the company my full attention." And I burned with rage. And I am not an angry individual. Like, in fact, I'm quite empathetic. I'm often the opposite. And I was so stunned by these feelings inside me, but it was my first company, right? And I was like, what? Like, I was actually stunned that now it wouldn't stun me anymore, but I was like, you already know this? You already know you're not showing up in a way that, and for my people, like I was chapped, right? And so the answer was no, by the way. No is a complete answer. And yet it was still like, it was such an eye-opening experience for me because I was like, wow, not everybody really does have your company's best interest in mind or your values or your culture. And God love her, she's a great person. It wasn't that, but I didn't know that anybody, that there were people that wouldn't work as hard or have that same connection to wanting to help families, whatever your mission may be, right?
And I know for us as entrepreneurs, like it's our child,
It's my third kid.
right?
I always wanted to have three children and I never did. So I'm like, oh, that's why.
My husband says this all the time, that
Oh
function
yeah, because
first
you have
is
two
my kids,
kids
because
too.
I have two kids. And so he'll say function first is our third kid. Or your third kid.
So good.
Thanks for sharing that story.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, and it makes sense based on what you were saying, so that's why I brought it in.
I think it's a long one.
Before we kind of begin to officially wrap things up, is there anything left on the table that you really wanted to make sure we addressed in this time and space for the people that are listening?
Well, I think we can r quickly touch base on one last element that we spoke about briefly, and how coaching leadership can affect that bottom line is also the it helps to foster that culture of learning and growth.
Great. Could I actually ask you to do something? Because I thought of this ahead of time. Could you speak to it in two ways? Because not everybody listening is going to have employees.
Yep.
So then if you are a solopreneur and you are an OT entrepreneur, how is the third point? Because I was looking in the notes while you were talking and I was like, maybe it's the third point. Maybe it's that foster the culture of continuous learning and growth, which ACOT does. And that's how we have to literally get renewed for our licenses. But how does that affect the bottom line of somebody that has a team and also doesn't have a team? Could you talk about it? Can you do that?
Yeah.
Split it? Okay,
yeah.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, and I would invite for solopreneurs because I could put myself in that bucket too if I wanted, because I have a fractional CMO and a fractional CFO. And so, but from my experience as a solopreneur, always still has consultants around them.
That's
they
true.
Will have a bookkeeper. They will have
We would hope. And if you don't do now, go now.
Yeah.
Do not pass go. Get those people. Okay, now they're back listening. Go.
So yeah, and so I would invite the solopreneurs to think of the people that are supporting them. And even it's those unpaid people. So for me, on my list of I'll have, you know, I talked about my husband, like he will be my unofficial employee, paid very terribly. Where, you know, I'm able to bounce back ideas and things like that. So I think that stuff we can think of our team in a different way.
Okay,
but
I
still
point.
Do not, yeah, I still really believe that solopreneurs, we do have a team. I think it's just how we view them.
Great.
Does that make
Love
sense?
That. Yep.
Because when you think of that fostering that culture of learning and growth, like this could go for the solopreneurs for themselves. And also if they have a team, there is a research that came out in 2022 and they did a great survey. And for me, and this would be more for people that have the team, but then I'll spin it for the others. It was an employment trend report. And this data really surprised me that if we're providing professional development education to our team, it helps to dial up retention rate of the organization 30 to 50%.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is like fostering professional development that fosters, so this is what I would put in that coaching culture, education, professional development. So it really surprised me, and inviting those solopreneurs, like what is the professional development that you need that will keep you motivated, inspired, that will help you set clear goals, that will, you know, keep you on the path that you need to be? Because we know it's not an easy hunky-dory journey as entrepreneurs, right? And so what is it that you need for you to stay? Because your retention as a solopreneur is yourself.
That's
you.
Deep. I didn't come up with that one. Nice. You knocked the cover off the ball on that one, Ilan. But I'm going to go back to ACOT. Like, so, and I did practice in the US, but it was many, many years ago. And I barely even remember. Anyways, I don't remember. I can't draw on my experience of having to, what I almost think of, I'm going to be a little bold here and say chasing CEUs. Again, I don't remember the experience of submitting to renew my license. You know, on second thought, it's because I moved a lot. So I might not have renewed anywhere. I was in like a whole bunch of different states. Maybe that's the factor. At any rate.
Okay.
But, and what I feel again is happening in, with the Alberta College of Occupational Therapy by asking those self-reflection questions first is they really are doing what you're suggesting, right? As opposed to being like busy, have to sign up for this, grab the CEU, the majority of which are really just clinically based. Like how can I increase the, I'm going to choose a PEDS example because I always do, like I need a feeding course, right?
Yeah.
It's like Pac-Man, like pop, 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 pop. You're just grabbing at these clinicals, which is still really important. But if it weren't for asking the questions and the prompts first, there's no way I would have landed on a leadership goal, like zero, right?
Yeah.
Now I know do I have a clinical goal in there? I actually do, but it wasn't the first thing that came to mind. We can choose like one or two things to work on. So I feel as though that requires slowing down.
Yes.
Which is so painful, right? Okay. To then create the values of the company and create like the self-reflection statements for yourself as a solopreneur. And because now you've got two jobs, you're like working in the business and you're working on the business. And now you're asking me to even like, just tell me which CEO to sign up for, Williams.
Right.
We'll take it from there. Right. So, and I guess I'm maybe putting a personal experience around the power of that reflection, staying curious for curiosity's sake and really wondering what's going to bubble up, as opposed to like, I need more, I don't know, I'm just going to choose feeding again experience, right? Does that make sense? Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I am mindful that some people are in a situation where they might be told that they have to do certain
good point. That's true. Because when I was working for a company, they would cover the PD if you brought it back to the group, and they also had to prioritize it, right? Yeah. It had to be a priority for them too. Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much. I really love this topic because we are focused on outcomes. We're kind of left brain list logic for how does this affect the bottom line? And yet so much of we talked, like it's a real yin yang for me, right? Like so much of it was like softer skills to use to illustrate and to determine something. I think the words I'm looking for, it feels like a qualitative and a quantitative discussion. I think that's the best way to summarize it. And I never would have been able to have this without you and all of your knowledge and bringing it to our attention. So thank you. Where can the people find you? So this is going to go live like end of February, beginning of March of 2024. We've got your link to your website, which will be in the show notes, which is the podcast resources. But what do you have going on if somebody's listening to this in the now?
In the now. Well, what I can share is some that are actually kind of recurring.
Oh, great.
So regardless of when they're listening. So the level one, we're doing it seasonally. So the level one for the B2C, offering it at the end of our Canadian winter every year and at early spring every year. So regardless of the year, we are releasing Neuroscience of Goal Setting, speaking of which. So we'll do a live session next month in March of 2024, but it will turn into an online module that will be available because it's so important and learning the neuroscience to use it with our clients and also for entrepreneurs with their team in a leadership context. If you've got the website link, that'll be in there. If people go on the resource, so functionfirstcoaching.com/resource. There's now a paid course section, and that one has a very affordable course that I've put together with the support of CAOT, the Canadian Association of OT, and it's called Coaching for Leadership Excellence. And there's a big section on there that talks about a feedback model that I've come up with, along with a worksheet and all that. So it could be of interest. And the last one, so excited about this. I get to go to the AOTA Inspire Conference again. So I've been invited for the third time. And I hope that I'm hoping to be a recurrent to be able to attend, because they have what's called an institute, and you get 6.5 hours live with occupational therapists. It's fantastic. And so I get to do, I call it the DICA level 0.05, 0.5, because I can only do half of the level one.
Right. So it's the dive into coach approach 0.5. It's the pre. 0.5.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. I do half of it, and then they can do the online module, finish the rest of the online module if they want. So all those four things, I think, are great places to take a peek at.
Well, you know, there's the typical question that I get asked about coaching is, what is the difference between being a coach and being OT? And if you have an online business, where do you draw your line? Like, I ask that question every single day. And you are taking it like way beyond. Like, I've learned so much about coaching from you. And really, and you know, the national organizations, at least in North America, are seeing this as well, that you are really spearheading the intersection of occupational therapy, the coach approach for businesses and for client outcomes. And that's just like very, very powerful stuff. So we're really, really lucky to have you in this seat for us. And thank you for coming on again.
Of course, such a pleasure as always. And thank you for reminding me of our third.
I know. Honestly, sometimes I look at my clients and I'm like, do you really trust me to be taking care of your kids? Or do you really trust me to be like holding your business? Like, because I'm like, I can't even remember an entire like part of July, but we're keeping it real. So hopefully this keeps us like as real as maybe people feel about Brené Brown. Like, we're not pretending. We're like, no. We're just showing up as ourselves too. Thanks, Ellen.
Best way to show up. Thank you, everyone.